Because I asked him, I said, well, you know, in terms of jazz, what did you get out of the experience? He says, I've made more friends since I've been in jazz lab. I learned how to collaborate. I learned how to go and talk to new people. And those were things that we worked on.
Welcome to Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I'm your host and chief goddess of the PASS Foundation, Annalise Corbin. We know the current model for education is obsolete. It was designed to create fleets of assembly line workers, not the thinkers and problem solvers needed today. We've seen the innovations that are possible within education, and it's our goal to leave the box behind and reimagine what education can look like in your own backyard. Welcome to Learning Unboxed. As always, I am excited to talk with another great innovator in the transformative education space. And today we are going to be talking about something called Jazz Lab and the field of jazz music in general as a positive disruptor in education. Something we all need more of. And joining us today is Stephanie Matthews, who is the executive director of A Tribe for Jazz. So, Stephanie, welcome to Learning Unboxed.
Annalise, thank you so much for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. We are very excited about this conversation. And so let's set a little bit of context for our listeners as we get started. First and foremost, A Tribe for Jazz uses jazz as a transformative tool for social and emotional learning, STEM integration, and emotional wellness. Stephanie pioneered Jazz Lab, a groundbreaking pilot program funded by the Battelle Central Ohio STEM Grant that combines music and science to inspire creativity and collaboration among underserved youth through activities like building 3D printed instruments and exploring physics of sound. A Tribe for Jazz has grown into a globally recognized organization dedicated to preserving jazz's rich legacy while shaping its future. All of which is fabulous. And what I really love, and Stephanie knows this, what I really, really love about the work that A Tribe for Jazz is doing is the fact that it is really trying in so many different meaningful ways to incorporate the arts into our everyday living life experience, but more importantly, into our learned experiences as well. And I really love that. So, Stephanie, help us with just the 100,000-foot view. We'll dig into the weeds with Jazz Lab in particular, but talk to us a little bit about why A Tribe for Jazz is so important in our community.
That's a great question. Thank you. You know, we're a four-year-old nonprofit, 501c3 nonprofit. Actually, we will be four come April, but it was always important to me to think about jazz outside of just being performances and going to concerts. I had the sense that, you know, music has so many valuable properties in terms of, you know, its ability to, you know, foster emotional wellness and all of those wonderful things that we'll get into later. But, you know, jazz has got this rich historicity about it, and it's naturally inclusive and it naturally builds community. And there's so much diversity in it. And this idea of improvisation. And so I kind of keyed in on that as, you know, the mission leader and wanted to really explore, well, how can we use this music to think about bringing communities together differently? And for me, that was putting on the lens of innovation. So, you know, in my mind, jazz can touch business, jazz can touch wellness, jazz can touch STEM, jazz can touch, you know, diplomacy, you know, all of those different things. It's interesting, Annalise, because when you say jazz to people, I guess it kind of actually takes them to another place too. Outside of the music, you know, this idea of like, well, what can jazz do? People automatically go to collaboration. They go to improvisation. So we're just exploring that and want to push the boundaries.
Absolutely. And I agree with you 100%. I mean, the potential for jazz to be a catalyst.
Yes.
For so many ways of thinking, doing, being, feeling, experiencing, right? It's one of the things that I love about it. And, you know, I can appreciate it in the sense that I come from a music background. And so that music background, one of the things that I love about it, and I love the interchange between the arts, but music in particular, and the STEM potential STEM fields, right? And one of the things I love about it is because it can actually be that mechanism by which we can learn so many things, right? Because jazz is physics. Jazz is wicked math. I mean, wicked math, right?
The science of sound, right?
The technological innovations from the simple to the complex.
Yes.
I just, you know, it really, truly, truly is. And you're right, because it's this thing that sparks our imagination and our creativity, but it makes us feel good. And we need to feel good in the world we're living in right now, right?
That. Absolutely. We need more of that. And just to kind of like add on to what you were saying, you know, this idea that, you know, people don't even understand the value in terms of jazz from a physiological and a neurological perspective. And when I started to tap into that, I mean, that opened up a whole new doorway for me in terms of, like, again, these possibilities. If jazz can fire, get these neurons firing, and it can like foster like creativity and innovation, and, you know, it can lower your blood pressure and help reduce anxiety and all of these wonderful things, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm down for that. Let's explore more of that. Where can we really, really go? And that's what, for me, helped open up that door to, but of course, something like jazz and STEM, it makes perfect sense. And you're right. Sound is physics. And I love your phrase, jazz is wicked mathematics.
Oh my gosh.
1,000%. And so, like, for me, when I'm listening to high-level improvisers, you know, I found out late in life, in my adult life, that I have synesthesia. So I would start seeing geometric shapes and colors and symbols and all these wonderful things. And so, you know, if it's doing that for me and it's opened up this whole new, this pathway, just imagine what it could do for young children and everyone else. So.
Well, and if you think about the brain development, the socio-emotional development that is happening in young people, right? I mean, it's I was actually talking to a guest earlier today. This is not the first recording in a given day. And one of my other guests today, we were really talking about that sort of the adolescent brain development. It is the second most progressive period of brain development in a human lifetime. The first is infancy. Happens really, really fast. And the second is those middle years, those sort of tweens through middle school, early high school. There is so much development, physiological development and socio-emotional development that is happening in that period in our lives. And so the idea that we can take something like jazz and we can use it as a mechanism to help that growth happen, that's kind of magical. It's like fairy dust. It's like, this is a cool thing.
You nailed it. Thank you. I love your enthusiasm, because that's exactly how I feel. That's exactly how I feel when we go into schools and are working with middle schoolers, because for me, middle school was a magical time as well. I played an instrument. I picked up the trumpet because I loved Louis Armstrong, but it wasn't for me. The playing the music was one aspect, but it was actually the collaboration and everything else that came along with it, you know. But long story short, you're right. That period of time is so magical. And if we can flood young people with different experiences that open up their mind to the possibilities, you don't know what's going to take hold.
You have no idea, right? And, you know, not everybody that goes through the jazz lab is going to become a musician, much less a jazz musician. And that's absolutely okay. I say the same thing. You know, not every kid who's coming through our doors is going to be, you know, X, Y, or Z. They're not going to all be an archaeologist or an engineer or a rocket scientist or a chemist, you know. But they're going to have an appreciation for those things because they had the chance to be exposed to it, to experience this thing that otherwise they might not have ever tapped their imagination or that space of possibility.
Space of possibilities. Oh, I love it. That's it. That's
yeah, absolutely. I agree. Okay, so we've been waxing poetically with each other here, and we're having so much fun. But let's get into the nuts and bolts, because I want to make sure that our listeners get the chance to hear and understand about this thing called Jazz Lab. And so let's start at the very top. So what is this thing, and why did you develop it? And then we'll get into the nuts and bolts of how it actually works.
So what is it? It's an after-school program in its current form, which was funded by the Battelle Central Ohio STEM Grant. And it's a pilot program where we go into the schools one day a week for 4 weeks for 75 to 90 minutes. And we're in 10 after-school spaces. It's an interactive, interdisciplinary program for youth ages 9 to 14, elementary, middle school, and it uses music as the gateway to explore STEM. And that's really it in a nutshell. Now, I mean, we'll dig in more, like you said, more into the weeds about what we do week by week, but it is an opportunity because it's a lab space to explore, to discover, to try new things. It's a place where we want you to fail and fail iteratively. We want to help you build resilience. We're working with young people on their collaboration skills and just all of that rich 21st century development, as well as the social emotional development happens within the space because, I mean, it's so rich and unique. It's hands-on, it's immersive. And if I could, I would have had the KPIs be curiosity and wonder. I'm not even kidding. Because that's exactly what it is. We want you to try new things and have different experiences and not knowing what might take hold, but knowing that it's opening up doorways for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what we want for our kids, right? Because again, they're never going to figure out what the possibilities are for them if they don't get the chance to play, to fail and fail often in a safe environment, to succeed and succeed often in a safe environment, all those elements. So I love that very much. Okay. So we love it. So how does it work, Stephanie? So what exactly is your tribe actually doing? And I love that, by the way. And since you know about us and our thing, you know why I love that so much. But so help us understand. So you go into this after-school program. It's for 4 weeks. What are the kids actually doing? And I'm a follow-up question, and you weave it in as it makes sense, just so I'll put it on your radar. How does this program ultimately influence what's happening? And maybe the answer is it's not yet because it's a pilot, but we can see how it could, and that's fair because it's in pilot. You know, ultimately, we want great and amazing informal programs that happen in those after-school or community spaces to ultimately have a positive impact or an influence on the way we're conducting our day-to-day educational experience for students. When we know that the current educational model in many ways is not serving the needs of kids today, despite lots and lots of efforts and lots of goodwill. But we also know that programs like Jazz Lab and many, many others that are out there, kids love them. They come back. They look forward to them. So there's messages and lessons in those experiences that we can incorporate into the more traditional educational settings that can get kids jazzed about the things that they're going to be doing all day long, not just after school.
So Jazz Lab's partners are Columbus Recreation and Parks, PAST Foundation, COSI, and Graves Piano, as well as AIM Smart Consulting that helped us with the DEI and inclusion aspect of the programming. And what we did is we created a curriculum around the science of sound. And what that boils down to is 4 1-week engagements that are 75 to 90 minutes long that we implement in one school at a time. And then we switch to another school. So the first day is around the science of sound and laying that foundational elements. So first of all, Jazz Lab travels with its own band, travels the rhythm section.
Awesome.
Yeah, so, and the people who don't know, that's piano, bass, and drums. And they also serve as educators, and I facilitate programs along with a number of volunteers and helpers. So learning about the science of sound, which is frequency, pitch, vibration, timbre, resonance. But you're learning about it from an interactive perspective. So the kids get to get hands-on with the instruments. They're there with the band. Music is playing. When they come in, just kind of set that scene. They put on their lab coats and they go up and start engaging with the music. So after that happens and a number of introductions and we lay out the course for the day, that hands-on portion, get in there, feel the strings, touch the soundboard, come and look at this piano. Let's open it up on the inside and take a look at it and look at the mechanics of how it's working and how vibration works within this instrument. And the same with the drums. And then later on that in that day part, we move over to rhythm and do, how do you now organize sound, you know, so it's not noise. How do you organize sound? And then we do a rhythm exercise with boom whackers. And so we have an expert who comes in and leads that. So that's week one. So there's the science. Second week, we build on that, and now we go into mathematics. So we have an expert who comes in and leads an engagement on synthesizers and sound waves. So you've heard sound the first week in acoustic setting. Now we're adding electricity, digitizing it, and now you're going to project it onto screens. So a big massive screen, they come in, it's all set up with Ableton Live, which is like a system that audio engineers use for projecting sound waves. We're talking about filters and oscillators and all the great stuff, but patterns and sequences and all of that greatness. Then they break out into groups where they're collaborating, where we give them a couple of sequences and different patterns and say, let's explore. Let's explore, build, come back, plug in. Let's see what you created. The band can riff off of it, which is a lot of fun. And then let's go back and keep collaborating and see what comes out. So that's week two. Week three, we move from the physical world, physical space, to the virtual space with virtual reality. Kosai comes in, we kick off the day talking about the differences in physical and digital world, virtual world rather, and they lead a number of activities around, like, you know, archival pieces of this. VR has been around in some form for a very, very long time, right? Over 100 years. The kids get to explore, experiment with those hands-on gadgets, you know, that are old and very, you know, antique-ish and wonderful. And then they move into the VR goggles. So what we did is we created two activities. One is called using an app called Virtuoso, where we curated instruments in this cosmos. So like drums, and there's a theremin, and maybe a harp and something else. And the kids get to play in pass-through mode, so they can still see each other, their instruments. And then we have the band come in, the bass player comes in the middle, starts to play a tune, and then they collaborate with him virtually, and he's live, of course. The second activity was we co-created this actual experience with Kosai, where in 180, we shot a live quintet at the Blue Note Jazz Cafe here in Columbus, Ohio. So when you're in the goggles, you're on stage with the quintet.
Oh, that's awesome. Just another way to be on the stage with them.
Right? I know. Oh, Annalise, it's so fun. So you can turn, and there you can see the bass player. You know, he's soloing, and you can turn this way, you see the vocalist, and then you step back into first person position, and then you're the drummer. You can look down and you see his hands on the drums and you're drumming. And the kids just love it, and they go wild, and so much comes from that. Just even the experience of being in the center as a leader on stage, it just does something, you know. And then week four, and that's where we do the 3D assembly. And now that collaboration was with, you know, CAT Foundation. So together, our teams work together to create these wonderful portable innovation labs, which are funded by Battelle also. And this particular lab is a 3D printed instrument. So it's a little guitar, 3D printed pieces in a little bag, Lego-like instructions, you know, and they put it together. They can string it with the rubber bands, which have different tensions. They can tighten the tension. And then we reiterate what we learned from week one. So we're constantly building and touching on different aspects of sound science all the way throughout, as well as letting young people know about all the different possibilities in terms of, well, did you know that virtual reality, you know, music making is a job? You know, if there's someone who, you know, creates those games, there's someone who, you know, design thinking is part of the engineering process, you know, structural engineering when you're creating these instruments. You know, you can be a 3D printer expert. You could be someone who uses CAD, you know. And so we're constantly like reaffirming that there's so many different opportunities available for them, you know, in STEM and in music, and the door is open. So that's what happens during Jazz Lab in those 4 weeks. And they take their instruments, and the pictures are wonderful. And, you know, they get to take them home. They can decal them and, you know, customize them. And it's wonderful. That fills my heart, because they get to leave with something outside of the wonderful experience they had too. So
they do. And it's fabulous. And there is no doubt in my mind that the kids love every minute of it, because it's immersive.
Yeah, we get a lot of engagement. We hit almost all the learning modalities. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a pretty rich experience. So we're really excited.
Are you ready to join the movement to revolutionize education? Stay tuned for the full unveiling of my forthcoming book, Hacking School: 5 Strategies to Link Learning to Life, where we'll dive deeper into these topics and unlock key strategies to educational transformation. If you want to stay in the know, sign up for notifications at pastfoundation.org/hackingschool.
What do you hear from the schools? What do you hear, or not necessarily from the schools, but, you know, partially it's all about where it is that you're running the program. But what do you hear from the people surrounding these kids? Let me put it that way, because it might be parents or caregivers or other community members, or even their traditional educators, you know, in the schools. It could be a whole host of folks. I have no doubt that you're hearing about how this program is making impacts on individual kids.
Yeah. So we're still early in the pilot. Okay. All transparency. I can tell you, teachers and sometimes principals, assistants, they pop in, you know, as they're leaving the building. They're like, what is going on? This is fantastic. And, you know, they want to be there too. They want to try the different things that are going on so they can see the excitement, they can see the engagement. And so that's wonderful. I can tell you that our partner, Rex and Parks, has had wonderful feedback, because what they do is when they're working with the children before they come to Jazz Lab, they talk to them about, you know, their expectations and what they're hoping and, you know, what they want to get out of the experience. They don't have any clue what they're walking into. And we're just getting that data back, and it's looking so promising. I'll tell you two stories. So one of them is the very first day we were at Dominion Middle School. This is the first day of Jazz Lab. There was a young man by the name of Matthew, and he was a trombone player. Some of the kids play instruments, most don't. And that's perfect. That's what we want. You know, you don't have to be a musician to be a part of Jazz Lab. So he happened to play the trombone. He was really, really, really drawn to the musicians, like right away. He like totally honed in on them, especially the pianist. And so by the end of the first day, I mean, he had like kind of really stepped up into like a leadership role, and he was very outspoken, just a really kind of dynamic young man. And at some moments he'd be quiet and really thoughtful and pensive. But he comes up to me before the end and he says, excuse me. He was like, can I pull out my trombone and play with the band? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Absolutely, yes, you can. It was totally unexpected and so welcome. Now, he's not a virtuoso by any means, you know what I mean? But it was the idea that he felt empowered and strong to say, I'm going to play with these. These are professional musicians. And he sat in, and every week he did the same thing. Every week. And I was so surprised by how the kids took to the jazz music. You know, you never know. Some kids be like, oh, it's old people's music, or it's this and that, or whatever. But live, oh, completely zoned in. And so he was getting what he needed out of the program. And so to juxtapose that, there was a young man named Michael who was at World Language. And Michael told me in his post-interview, we came back and did interviews a few weeks later to give them time to process. He said, because I asked him, I said, well, you know, in terms of Jazz Lab, what did you get out of the experience? He says, I've made more friends since I've been in Jazz Lab. He was like, I learned how to collaborate. I learned how to go and talk to new people. And those were things that we worked on. And his friend circle had expanded, and he was very quiet the first couple of weeks, but by the end of the program, you know, you could see the shift in certain children, you know, more energy and just speaking out their excitement about, you know, we had young people who were talking about, they felt more enthusiastic about doing their homework, which is something I never expected to see. They felt kind of fired up and very interested in, you know, just wanting to know more about science and the different things. So that's what's been coming out of it so far. It just, you know, a lot of, it's meeting young people where they are and what they need. And I think that's really something.
That is absolutely key, Stephanie. I mean, you know, if we can't recognize, I think, two fundamental things, right? One is that we've got to meet people and kids in particular where they are. And the second is that there is endless possibility inside that young person, endless possibility. And no matter what their circumstances, no matter what the experience had been before, no matter what the rest of the world will put a label on or say, here's what your future is, the reality is none of that is true if we can tap in and recognize that there is endless possibility in this individual. And if we can give them the opportunity to have experiences where they can figure out what that endless possibility is. Because we can say it out loud. We can even believe it. We can even put a pin in it. And that doesn't matter, because it's not about us. It's about them.
Right.
So these kind of experiences that allow them to flourish, this young man to be brave enough and confident enough to pull out his trombone, or, you know, another young person to feel like that they can be a leader, to ask questions, to engage, that is power beyond putting on the cape, you know, as a superhero.
Indeed. Indeed. Well said. I want to touch a little bit on what you asked, you know, how does it ultimately influence? And I think my hope is, as others come in, we get lots of visitors who want to come and see it in action, you know, and I think experience it for themselves too. You know, they want to be hands-on too. My hope is that, you know, with this data, we can eventually, you know, help with others impact how education is laid out or rolled out in the school day. You know, I can see us developing a curriculum for in-school time. We could do that. And then, of course, you know, have to formulate a team that would then, you know, train teachers on how to work interdisciplinary, you know, interdisciplinary way. I mean, that's really it. I mean, it's kids don't learn the way, they don't learn effectively the way that it's currently being taught. You know, the interactivity and the immersiveness has got to be there. I don't know how schools can bring more of that in, or if that's even possible, considering the way the system is designed. But I mean, but that's it. That's how we get them ready for the future. I don't know. It's tough. It's we could go on and on about this because, I mean, there's so many different problems with the system as it is, but no.
Well, and like I said, it'll be interesting to see. This is in pilot. I think, you know, to be completely fair and to make sure our listeners really understand that, you know, this is early days in this really incredible endeavor. And, you know, one of my hopes, certainly when you and I first talked about this way back when, now it seems like a million years ago, it wasn't that long, but it feels like it in some ways because so much progress has been made, right? You know, and one of the things that I was really excited about is the opportunity for this to be, first and foremost, super effective and a wonderful experience for the learners, no question, but also to be something that can have the ability to be shared broadly and have impact in other communities. That's going to be that would be a big win, in my opinion. And so I'm super excited about that. So that brings me to my final question as we sort of try to wrap our conversation up. Is what is next for A Tribe for Jazz? So not just about Jazz Lab, but, you know, you do as an organization, you're deeply embedded in the community and you're doing a variety of different things. And so what, Stephanie, gets you jazzed about the things you get to do in the, say, the next, you know, 12 to 18 months? What are you looking forward to?
Well, one of them absolutely is expanding this program, you know, continuing to get the feedback and fine-tuning our activities and all of that, and working towards perhaps the summer version of it, and then coming back again in the fall, hopefully increasing from 10 schools to 15. We'll have to see what budget looks like and things like that, but continually building that out. Jazz Lab has legs. We believe it deserves to live. It's going to live. We're committed to making that happen, not just within Columbus, but moving outside of Franklin County, eventually statewide. And then let's see if we can find a model that can be replicated on a national level. So that's where we want to go. But as for A Tribe for Jazz, you know, holistically, you know, we just found out we're going to be honored by Columbus Business First as a Diversity and Business Award winner and in the organization category. That is foundational to who we are, you know, access, bringing access to the arts, inclusion, and exploring diversity and having those wonderful transformative conversations. And conversations is, it's because like last year we did a really heavy performance schedule. This year, I think we're going to transition and we cut that in half and do more conversations, more panel discussions, more thought leadership. So we're continually improvising who we are, building on the core that we started, our filmmaking and documentary shorts and all of that wonderful stuff, and programming like Jazz Lab, and then expanding. So I guess I'm going to say to viewers or listeners, just wait and see. We'll see. There's a lot on tap. Trust me, it's good.
And it's all going to be fun stuff too along the way. So absolutely. Really, really exciting. And, you know, I always love a good pilot. So I'm super excited about it. The fact that, you know, it was all crafted with how much can we learn about each other, the work that we're doing as an organization, about our learners and our community. So I just want to close for myself with just applauding you and A Tribe for Jazz for taking that on, because that's not an easy thing to do. you know, congratulations for that, because it's really, really remarkable work. And I hope that we can touch base again and get an update, you know, about sort of what's happened, you know, post-pilot sort of phase. So absolutely. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for taking time out of your day to join us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us for Learning Unboxed, a conversation about teaching, learning, and the future of work. I want to thank my guests and encourage you all to be part of the conversation. Meet me on social media at Annalise Corbin, and join me next time as we stand up, step back, and lean in to reimagine education.